for today is found in Exodus 12 and 13. We left off speaking to you the last time we were speaking about the people of Israel, how that God gave unto them the institution of the Passover, and how that he commanded them that they should take a lamb and that they should slay it, and that they should likewise take the blood of this lamb and put it upon the side posts and upon the upper lintel of the door, and that they all should eat this lamb in their homes, and not one of them should leave their houses during that night. God then gave this as a sign for these people that during that night he would pass their houses by. He would slay all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, but wherever the destroying angel would see this blood, he would pass this house by. And we find that the people of Israel did as the Lord had commanded Moses and as Moses had commanded them. They went and they slew the lamb and they ate the Passover that night. They were commanded by God to observe this ordinance forever in remembrance of what God was going to do that very night. And God did according as he had said he would. For, behold, at midnight, God sent this destroying angel throughout the land of Egypt, and he slew all the firstborn, from Pharaoh's firstborn to those that even were in the dungeon, in the prison, and likewise the firstborn of all the cattle. This was an awful judgment that God brought down upon the Egyptian people. Oh, who can picture what must have went on in the houses of these people? For we find that Pharaoh arose at midnight with his servants and with all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in the land of Egypt. Oh, this man Pharaoh, he had been warned, he had been spoken to, he had been told that this was going to take place, and he actually had chased Moses and Aaron away from him. And he said, "You'll see my face no more, otherwise you will die." And now God came, who is faithful to his word, whether it be promises for the welfare of his people or for the judgments of sinners. God came then into this country in this way. And all this king, Pharaoh, he likewise must have went to bed very peacefully. There had been a plague upon this country for 3 days. There had been darkness, so thick the darkness had been that it could be felt. And none of these Egyptian people had went out of their homes. But now this plague was taken away, and this was the first night that they thought that they would be enabled to sleep in peace. And lo, at midnight, there God came and struck the firstborn of all the Egyptian people. I was trying to find out whether God struck likewise females, for there must have been many families that had females that were firstborn, but I couldn't find anything in the commentary or even in the Bible. So we will pass this by. Most of the commentators, they say it was just the males. But regardless what it was, this made the country of Egypt a mournful country. It is written that when someone dies in the house of an Egyptian, then the women, they run outside with their hair disheveled and disordered and with their breasts bare, and they beat themselves and they shriek and they shout. and the men likewise follow them with their clothes completely disordered, shouting and shrieking and hitting themselves. This was a token of their love and their affection to the one that had passed away. There was then a great cry in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh went to the bedside of his firstborn, and there he lay. He who was to be king in his place died. Oh, this man, Pharaoh, thinking of him, had he but listened. What wonderful blessings would have been given unto the Egyptian people, but because of the stubbornness and the obstinacy of this king, God came down and visited even his people, his subjects. All we can see in this, my hearers, what takes place with a person who hardens his heart and goes on in his stubbornness and in his obstinacy against God and against his commandments. He who being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. How many precious lives were destroyed in the country of Egypt in this judgment? Imagine all young men then will say, the prime of their life and the cream of the families of Egypt were all slain. Thinking of this and what went on in their homes when this took place led me a little further to think of our blessed country. How many of the firstborn of many families in this country at the present time have received word that their sons have been killed in action in Vietnam? What sorrow, what grief. Oh, what has been going on in many a home we realize not. We read in the paper and we pass it by. But my hearers, the judgments of God are upon us as a nation in this respect. And many parents, even amongst us who have sons in the service, they are living in fear that they likewise might receive such a token and such a sign and such a word from the government that their son has been killed in action. Oh, may we realize this as a congregation, and oh, may we realize too how wonderful it is that God preserves you and I, for we likewise are subject unto death. There are all sorts of ways that God could take our lives away. And all we should cry out with the prophet of old, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Every house in Egypt, there where the Egyptians were and they had sons, there was one dead. Some probably only had one son, some had others. But irrespective, every house, it says, had one dead. When someone is sick, our neighbor, or when someone dies next to us, then in sympathy we go to them and we try to comfort them. But there was no such going to one house to the other in Egypt, because every house had the same thing in it. There were nobody to comfort them. All this king was the cause of this, what came upon his subjects. See, in this, what rulers can bring upon the inhabitants of the countries in which they dwell, and that for their own sins sometimes, like it was here with Pharaoh. Oh, then Pharaoh, who had chased Aaron and Moses away from him, oh, then he hastily sent for them. There was such a cry going up in this land from all this taking place. Thinking of this, my hearers, what an awful cry there will be in this world when the voice shall trumpet, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Oh, when the day of judgment shall come, oh, then likewise there will be an awful cry going up, a cry from every person that is without Christ, every person that must stand before this judgment seat. Oh, what consternation, what anguish, what terror, oh, what fright will fill the wicked when they are called upon to appear before him. Oh, what a cry will be in that day, a cry such as never was heard in this world before. We are hastening towards this time, my hearers. There was an awful cry in Egypt, but this cry will exceed them all. Oh, my beloved Bible class, may you and I be given not to do as Pharaoh did, who hardened his heart, who went on in his sins, and who brought this terrible judgment upon himself and upon his people. But may we be given to pray to God that he would give us a new heart, a heart that loves his will from discontent and envy free as we sing. Oh, pray, my beloved hearers, that you may not be hardened in your sins and perish like Pharaoh did and the rest of his soldiers, as we as likewise will have a lesson of. And now this king, he sent for Moses and Aaron in haste. Oh, he was so afraid that he was going to die. And so were the Egyptian people. Oh, they were filled with fright likewise. And therefore he sent for them, and he gave them what they had asked for. He not only said go, but he commanded them, and he told them to go with haste and do as thou hast said. Take thy young and thy herds and thy cattle and go serve the Lord as you have said, and bless me also. This was the words of Pharaoh, this wicked king. See what he was doing, my hearers, with the fear of death upon him. Oh, he became even a beggar, that Moses and Aaron would pray for him likewise, that he would not die. See what the fear of death does, my hearers, to many people. Oh, when death enters into our homes, then truly we likewise are under the deep impression thereof. And all we would ask the minister, not only to pray for ourselves, but likewise for all the members of our family, that we may not perish in our sins. This man likewise, he hated Aaron and Moses. He had chased them away from him, but now he sent for them in haste. But then he wanted them. Then he wanted their prayers. So it is with many wicked persons. They care not about God's ministers or his servants or about his word. But when death comes and the fear of death takes hold of them, then many of them, irrespective of how ungodly they have been and how wicked they have lived, then they want a minister. Then they want somebody to come and pray for them. So it was with Pharaoh, and so it is with many a person. And now Moses and Aaron were told that they could go. They could take the Israelitish people, and they could do as they had asked Pharaoh to do. And they likewise were commanded to go in haste. These people, they had been preparing to go. They had been told by Moses that God was going to deliver them. And they had prepared in a certain way to get dough together, unleavened dough, no yeast in it, so that they could bake unleavened bread and have this with them when they were compelled or commanded to leave. But they had no time now to bake unleavened bread, because all of a sudden they had to leave. They were thrust out of Egypt. This Pharaoh demanded that they should leave immediately. The people also were very urgent upon the Israelitish people, for they likewise told them to go, lest we all die. We see in this that this was to the advantage of the Israelitish people, where the Egyptians wanted them to leave as fast as they could. These Israelitish people, they had been commanded by Moses that when they would go, they were to spoil the Egyptians. They were to take of the Egyptians whatsoever they could. They were not to rob them or plunder them, no, but they were to take whatever the Egyptians would give them. And now with the Egyptians wanting them to leave in haste, they likewise spake to them and said that they were not prepared, and they had no money, and they had nothing to take with them on this journey. So this was a good way that God used, so that they likewise would receive from the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold, and whatever was necessary for the journey. God had said they should not go up empty-handed, but that they should spoil the Egyptians in this way. And the Egyptians, they were willing to give them anything as long as they would go. They found favor in the sight of the Egyptian people, God opening the hearts of these people to give unto the Israelites such things as was necessary for their journey. And now we find that these people then, they were compelled to leave the land of Egypt. They took with them their netting troughs, and they put them on their shoulders. They took their knapsacks, and whatever they could take with them, they took. They took their cattle with them and their little ones, and there went up out of Egypt 600,000 men that were capable of war, besides the women and children, and a mixed multitude. We have here then God's children, the Israelites, being delivered out of their bondage and out of their slavery. God had given a promise unto Abraham that he would, after 400 years, bring his seed out of that nation, which would chastise them and trouble them, and he would bring them out with a high hand. When God gives a promise, he most certainly will fulfill it. This promise lay dormant for 400 years, my hearers. All this teaches us that if we have a promise, we must not expect that it will be immediately fulfilled. But it will be fulfilled in God's way and in God's time and in his season. So it was with this promise. The Lord is faithful to his word. These people in Egypt probably had been waiting for the fulfillment of this promise. Not all of them. There probably were some that were God-fearing Israelites who knew of these promises and who likewise had often pleaded with God that he would fulfill it. And now it was the time for God to bring to pass what he had spoken unto Abraham. Has he likewise spoken unto you, my hearers? Has he given you some token, some word of promise that he will deliver your soul? The set time for it is on his side, and the fulfilling of it comes from him. faithful is he that speaketh and who keepeth his word, even though it was over 400 years. These people then were delivered from their slavery and from their bondage and servitude. They were immediately set into liberty. They are a type likewise of the Church of Christ throughout all ages. These people being delivered in this way by the hand of God. So he delivers each and every true person that is an Israelite written in his precious book. He comes to them in the fullness of time, and he brings them out of their servitude. They're serving the devil, the world, sin, the flesh, and their own evil hearts. The Lord, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, delivers his people and lets them go free in this respect. We find that these people were led to a certain place called Ramesses, which was the capital of the country called Goshen on the lower south side of the Nile. And from Ramesses they took their cattle and set their tents up in a place called Succoth. Succoth means tents. Here then was the first rendezvous of the children of Israel. This is where they stayed. And here they baked unleavened cakes from the dough that they had carried with them. This cake which they bake is a tasteless thing. I don't know if any of my hearers have ever ate them, but there isn't any taste to them. But to the Israelites, this was the best meal that they ever had eaten. Why? Because they had been set into liberty. They were free now from the Egyptians. And this matzah, we'll call it, which they eat even to this day, was a wonderful meal to them, although there was no taste to it. So likewise, my Hebrews, when God leads a sinner by his love and by his grace out of this world and gives him to be brought near to him, to have faith and exercise that God loves him or her and has chosen them, then a meal of dry bread and water is a feast to such a soul. They can enjoy this better than the best meal that could be set before them, when faith is in exercise to believe that they are one of God's dear people. These people then, they were 600,000 men, besides women and children. Some estimate that it was over 2 million people. We will not estimate this, but we'll take 600,000 men and their wives and their children, another 600,000, and that gives you 1,200,000 people, besides the mixed multitude that went up with them. When you consider that Jacob went down into the land of Egypt and there were only 70 souls that were there, oh, what a great increase we have here, 600,000 men, besides women and children. How wonderful God fulfilled the promise that he gave unto Abraham when he was sitting in the tent door and told him that he was going to have a son, and that he would bless him and his seed after him. And he, in unbelief, could not receive this promise, wondering how it could take place where he was so old already, and Sarah likewise. And the Lord led him outside of his tent and said, "Look into the sky and count the stars. So shall thy seed be." Some have said, that's an impossibility. Now with the naked eye, about 4,000 stars could be viewed at one time. But let it be true that there are 75 million stars in the sky. Has not the Jewish race increased tremendously more than what 75 million stars are? Since they have become a nation, a people, millions and millions of Jews have lived upon this earth, and God has fulfilled that promise. We have here a fulfilling of it, 600,000 men and a mixed multitude. This mixed multitude was from the land of Egypt. They were Egyptians, probably, and they went up with them. Some of them, because there wasn't anything left in the land of Egypt. God had visited this country, and it lay in ruin. And rather than stay there, they took a chance to go with the Israelites, hoping that they likewise would be blessed with them. Many of these mixed multitude went because they had heard that they were to do sacrifice in the wilderness. And they had seen the mighty hand of God stretched out over their own country for these people. And they expected to see some visible sign, some wonderful thing which God would reveal to these people in the wilderness. But then there were a rude multitude who followed them because they just went with the crowd. Just like even in our times, a crowd follows a crowd. And if you ask some of them, what are you doing? They don't know. They're just following the crowd. So it was with many of these that they just followed the rest of them. Now it was this mixed multitude that brought a snare upon them afterwards because they fell to lusting. And now this mixed multitude, when they heard that God was going to punish these people and they would have to wander in the wilderness 40 years, many of them went back to Egypt. They didn't remain with them. But this teaches us, too, that all that came out of Egypt were not Israelites. And it is not all Israel that is Israel. So it is with the Church of Christ. There will always be hypocrites amongst them. And the hypocrites, they may go a long time, even to the end, with their profession. But when God judged them, then they will be revealed that they were hypocrites. These people then, they went up, harnessed in rank and in file. It wasn't a disordered mob. It wasn't a disordered group of people just running, no. They went up five in a rank, according to the commentary. Five abreast. What a multitude going, they knew not where. They were going into the wilderness. My hearers, they are a type likewise of when God established his Christian church. This multitude, which had grown from 70 to such numbers, likewise, when God came down on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 added to the church immediately. Later on, 5,000. And so it went on until it has increased to numbers and numbers of people. Millions of souls will be in glory above. All the church then, even in this state, typified the Christian church. For mightily did the word of God grow when these apostles went forth to preach it, and it found access in the hearts of many sinners who were born again and were led to believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, it is true that there are but few, we would say, that are saved, because Jesus taught that himself. There are many that are called, but few that are chosen. But throughout the ages that this world has stood, God has fulfilled his promise, even given unto Abraham, as the stars are, so shall thy seed be. Not only physically, providentially, but likewise spiritually. Oh, the increase of souls that shall glorify this precious Christ forever and ever is still taking place, my hearers. May it take place amongst us. May he stretch out his hand and gather every one of us, if it could be his will, to his blessed feet. These people then, they went up harnessed, they went up with the spoils of the Egyptians. They had jewels of silver and jewels of gold. So likewise, when God leads a person out of the Egypt of this world, he then gives unto him jewels far precious than those that were given unto these Israelites by the Egyptians. Oh, what jewels! And how rich does such a sinner become who receives faith, hope, love, a new heart, a new life, who receives a God to help him, a Savior to save him, a Spirit to teach him and to instruct him. Oh, who receives likewise promises of an eternal salvation awaiting him in heaven above. Such sinners realize not how rich they are. They feel themselves to be poor, lost, condemned sinners in themselves. But in God they are rich beyond any tongue could speak of. These people then, they were brought by God to himself into the wilderness. This was according to what they had asked of Pharaoh. There were two ways to go up to the land of Canaan. One was a very short way, which took about 4 days' journey. But God was pleased to lead these people in a roundabout way, 100 miles rounded out. Many of these people thought that they would be immediately in the land of Canaan. Maybe somebody listening to me thought too, when God began that good work in your heart, you would soon be in heaven. You soon would be with God. But as he led these people, so he leads his people today. He led them in a roundabout way. The Philistines lived in the land of Canaan. They were a formidable people. They were a ferocious people, a strong people. And lest that when they came to these people, they would have to war against them, and they were in no state to make war, the Israelites. Therefore, God led them in a roundabout way. It wasn't the time yet for them to overcome all these people that lived in the land of Canaan. And now God led them by himself. He went before them. He became their guide. And he led them in a wonderful way. As God likewise led these people, so he leads every one of his dear children. He leads them in a way so contrary to the way that they expected to go. It goes so entirely opposite as it did with these people. And many of them, you may be sure, began to murmur, began to complain. They couldn't understand why they had to go way round about the Red Sea. This was not the way to Canaan. This was going backwards. This is the way God leads his people, my hearers. It's not going uphill and going immediately to heaven. Oh, no. It's going backwards. It's going in a way that you begin to learn to know yourself. And so it went with these people. They then came to the place of which we read of in the 14th chapter. They came in between two mountains with the Red Sea before them, and only this pathway whereby they could go back. They couldn't climb over these mountains. They couldn't go forward because the sea was before them. And the passageway backwards was back towards Egypt. Here they were enclosed in this place. God had led them there. God had commanded Moses to bring them there. Wonderful things had to take place for these Israelites so that they likewise would be given faith to believe in the God that was leading them. They were then entrenched in a chasm out of which there was only one way, and that was backwards. And now we find back in the land of Egypt this man Pharaoh, the king. After he had buried his dead and the Egyptians also, then they seen the ruin of their country, and they seen likewise this land where the Israelites had dwelt, the land of Goshen, a wonderful place, a fruitful place. In fact, when the Israelites left this country, they left their homes, they left their farms, they left everything to the Egyptians, which in turn we would say was good enough for all what the Egyptians had given unto the Israelites. The Egyptians had never paid the Israelites anything for all their slavery and all the work that they did. And then when they gave them these jewels and these things of gold and of silver, they were well recompensed by this for what they had done for the Egyptians. But when they were forced out, then the Egyptians received their farms and whatever was growing on the ground. And whatever was in their homes, they couldn't take their furniture with them or anything of the kind. They were thrust out immediately. So in this respect, the Egyptians were recompensed for what they even gave to the Israelites. And now they had to have people to work this land and to build it up again because it had been so destroyed by the hand of God. And Pharaoh, seeing this, he says, "Why did we let these people go? Oh, how foolish we were. Don't you think so?" he said to his other servants. "Yes." And all the people agreed with him. And he says, "Come, let's pursue after them." So he got all his chariots and all his horses together and all his soldiers, and he went ahead of them all to pursue after the Israelites. And he had heard that they were in this chasm. He said, "They're so dumb, they don't know which way they're going. They don't know how to go. We'll catch them there. We'll bring them all back as slaves and make them work again." So he arose and he pursued after them, thinking that he would take them captive. See in this, my hearers, that the fear of death and what had taken place with Pharaoh was all gone. On he went. So it is with persons. You may be under the impression when God strikes in your home and takes a loved one away, oh, then you begin to fear and tremble before this great God. But just as soon as this has gone by, on we go and sin. We care not if we're going to be destroyed. We will not listen. Neither did Pharaoh. He had been often reproved, but now he was going to be destroyed, and that without remedy. He was pursuing after God's people, the type of the devil, and all his helpers. Oh, my time is far gone, my hearers. The Lord willing, we'll pick up the subject next week at this point. God bless the feeble instruction I've been giving to you out of his word this afternoon. That's all.